prey on the fact that men no longer have anything to live for. We have heard the arguments going on for the privilege of dying at the first sign of hardship. We read of the tragedy, and it really was a tragedy, of a young man who had much of his life ahead of him, who was a football player for the Houston Oilers, involved in an automobile accident because his best friend was killed, did not think that life was worth living himself, and so took his own life. Of course, we all know about Jack Kevorkian and his delight in helping people on in death. And we've been arguing with others over the aspect of a certain quality of life that may be necessary for permitting another one to live. It just seems to me again that we have this fascination with death. And yet the Lord would have us to value life in its every aspect as it comes from Him, recognizing that indeed there are hardships in every phase. I don't know about you. I certainly enjoyed my youth. I don't particularly want to go back to it. And there are certain advantages and disadvantages in every age. But I think that God would have us to truly value the length of days that He gives to each of us. So I want to look at this passage, this 31st verse, and thinking back to Joshua, that man, 85 years old, standing before Joshua and said, "My work's not done yet. My work is just beginning." And I want to cultivate that kind of attitude, that we might value the length of days that He gives to us. And so in order to do that, I think, first of all, as we look at this passage that tells us that a gray head is the crown of glory, it is found in the way of righteousness. First of all, I want to point out to you that if we're going to make the most of our lives, we need to embrace God's perspective on old age. And the reason for that is because we have a very warped perspective of old age. I must say that I did as well. So if we're going to embrace God's perspective on old age, the first thing that we need to do is we need to reject the notion that youth is the apex of life, that somehow that's the best time. It isn't. The best time is the time in which you're living right now. That's the time that God has given to you. And yet, for some reason, we tend to place this, in our particular culture, we tend to place this value on youth. And certainly, you who are young ought to put value on it because that's where you are. But let me tell you something. I think there's something strange about a culture that longs for immaturity. There's something wrong with a people who long to go back to days when they were less equipped for life than better equipped for life. And I'm telling you, it's something that Bunny's going to laugh at this, but when I met Bunny, I had this strange perspective. I said, "Bunny, love you with all my heart, but I tell you, if I have my druthers, I hope we both go out together in a skiing accident when we're 50 years old." Now, I'm moving that back considerably now as I approach those things, because I'm finding out the value. But you see what I had? I had this notion that, hey, once you got to be 50 years old, what's the point of living? I didn't have God's perspective of valuing old age. God says a gray head is a crown of glory. It is found in the way of righteousness. You see, the world pursues the fleeting vanity of youth. I don't know what it is. Maybe there's this aspect, and there are things that happen. You know, I guess maybe I'd like to have gray hair. At least it would mean that I'd be able to keep what I have. And I'm not certain maybe that I don't have much gray, but I'm getting a lot thinner on top, and my chest seems to have sunk down to just above my belt, and maybe there's some value in that appearance, but I think we put too much emphasis on that. And certainly we go back to the times of limited responsibility and long for that. You know, I keep on thinking of Proverbs 31:30 about the godly woman in Proverbs. It says that charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. It seems to me that that gives us a better perspective, that it is those qualities of the inner person more than the outward appearance and the free-for-all days of our youth that we enjoyed for a time. But that's what the world continues to pursue. And so we have all of these things that are being thrown at us, and all of the commercials, of course, are geared to that age that is now behind me. And there seems to be that longing for that. In addition to the world pursuing that fleeting vanity of youth, the world pities and despises old age. If you go back with me to the book of Isaiah, the third chapter, you can see some of God's judgment upon this ungodly character upon which he was going, this ungodly nation, upon which he was going to bring his wrath. And one of the qualities we see in verse 5, it says, first of all, in verse 5, and the people will be oppressed, each one by another, and each one by his neighbor. The youth will storm against the elder, and the inferior against the honorable. One of the marks of a dying culture is young people despising the elderly. And let me tell you, that's convicting to me, because one of the things that irks me no end is getting behind elderly drivers. And my wife very graciously reminds me, Brent, that could be your mother. And I often respond, if it was my mother, I'd tell her to get off the road. Which again, speaks to me. But sometimes I just get this real bitterness in my soul. And it's part of my culture. And if I'm going to embrace God's perspective on old age, I must reject the notion that youth is the apex of life. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is, are we going to agree with God, or are we going to agree with the world? The world says no, it's not an honorable thing. God says a gray head is the crown of glory. Another thing we're going to do in embracing God's perspective on old age is not only rejecting the notion that youth is the apex of life, we need to learn to value old age as a token of God's blessing. If you go back with me in your Bibles to Genesis, the 15th chapter, we see one of God's promises to Abraham, and we see its fulfillment a bit later on in the 25th chapter. But in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 15, we read this, "And as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age." And in 25 and verse 8, we see the fulfillment of this prophecy that God had given to Abraham. And reads in verse 8, "And Abraham breathed his last and died in a ripe old age, an old man and satisfied with life, and he was gathered to his people." And let me tell you something, that old age that God granted Abraham was not a curse. It was a blessing. And on the contrary, we can read in Deuteronomy that as God pronounces the curses upon his people, he says, if you don't do what I say, he says, you will not live to a ripe old age. You see, old age is the crowning experience of life. Yes, it's true. It marks the end of our life. But it is the crowning experience of life. A gray head is the crown of glory. As we are being recreated in the image of God, and as that inner man is perfected more and more in our old age, there is a sense in which the outer man does pass away, but the inner man is renewed day by day. It's the crowning experience of life. And that old age reflects the nobility of life also. There is something, yes, I guess there is something sad, and maybe it's because we don't like the idea of death, but there's a great testimony to the grace of God in old men and old women who love the Lord and are confident in the face of death. There's something noble about those who are at the very gateway of facing their God, who have great confidence and joy. And there's something very noble about those who have lost many of the faculties that they enjoyed when they were younger, who still delight in God and offer up praise to Him. See, old age, I think, reflects the nobility of life. And old age certainly marks the new creation in Christ Jesus. In other words, those who live to be old are really demonstrating the grace of God to his people. In Isaiah chapter 65, as he speaks of the new heavens and the new earth, we read this: "No longer will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his days, for the youth will die at the age of 100. And the one who does not reach the age of 100 will be thought accursed." Like I say, I could get an awful lot done if I knew that I had a long life. And God may not grant that to each one of us, but we dare not despise it, because it is the token of God's new creation that we live to old age. So value old age as a token of God's blessing. And value old age also for the very qualities which attend it. There are certain things which you receive in old age that you cannot receive anywhere else. Old age provides the priceless experience of life. I always think to myself, although I'm beginning to think maybe that I'm getting a little closer, but I always talk with my friends and I tell my wife, "Bunny, when does maturity hit? I'm still waiting for it. I still feel like a little kid running around in my 45-year-old body." But part of that comes because I still see my parents and the great experience they have and the wisdom that has come from that experience. I think of my grandmother, who died when she was 93 years of age, and not only did she see a great deal of change in the country, but I just think of the tremendous experience that she had, because as a child she remembers reading the paper about the Wright brothers' flight at Kitty Hawk. And she watched men walk on the moon, and she watched the space shuttle. She went from when men were not able to fly under power to where they were going outside the Earth's atmosphere. What tremendous experience she had. And you can't get that any other way than living a long time. Old age is therefore a treasury of wisdom for life. It is no accident, I don't think, that the elders or the rulers of God's people are called elders, because ordinarily you would expect wisdom to be found in old age. And if you look back at Job chapter 12, this is exactly what we see. Old age is usually, and I must emphasize that, as we'll see a little bit later, usually attendant with wisdom. Verse 12 of Job chapter 12, "Wisdom is with aged men, with long life is understanding." We don't gain a great deal of wisdom until we have lived it. And old age provides countless opportunities for kingdom service. We don't think about that. We selfishly desire to go on and get on with it. And yet, the opportunities are manifold as we live. Again, and I would just have you to go back and look at Caleb. He understood that at 85 years of age, his life was not over, but his work for the kingdom was still ahead of him. And if you'll turn in the Psalms, we can see some of this also. Psalm 92, this great, there are tremendous psalms which point this out, but in Psalm 92, verses 10 through 15, "But thou hast exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil, and my eye has looked exultantly upon my foes. My ears hear of the evildoers who rise up against me. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." Those that are planted in the Lord, in the house of the Lord early, will still yield fruit in their old age, and they will go about proclaiming that the Lord is upright. The opportunities, again, I think of my aged grandmother, and were it not for the mercy of old age, she would have gone into a Christless eternity. For you see, she did not trust in Christ as Lord until she was 86 years of age. Do you not think that old age was a great blessing to her? And certainly was. And old age also provides the gift of enjoying God's blessings. One of the things that that Bunny and I held on to when she was undergoing her illness 10 years ago was that promise in the Psalms that said, "You will see your children's children." Kimberly was 11 years old at the time. I kept on thinking, what a great blessing it will be to see children's children. You don't get that by dying young. You need to learn to value old age for the qualities which attend it. And some are able to see their children's children's children, which is indeed a great blessing. But there's something else in here in embracing God's view of old age, and that is you ought to fear a Christless old age that will be a curse to you. You see, this verse tells us that a gray head is a crown of glory. It is found in the way of righteousness. But old age in and of itself is not necessarily a blessing. Ecclesiastes tells us that he's seen two things that are kind of strange. He's seen an old, foolish king and a young and wise peasant. Old age doesn't necessarily bring those things. Charles Bridges wrote in his commentary on Proverbs, "What is a more lamentable spectacle than a graceless old man only gaining by his score of years a proportionate share of the guilt?" What is more lamentable than to live long years only to pile up more and more offenses against a holy God? What a wretched thing it is. So you must learn to fear a Christless old age that will ultimately be a curse to you. So embrace God's perspective on old age. And having embraced that, then I think you also ought to demonstrate your respect for the aged. If you have God's perspective, then what that ought to do is that ought to work its way out in your life, in the way that you live, in the way that you work. And the first thing I would say to you is that if we have God's perspective on old age, then you ought to honor the aged as your duty to God. Look at Leviticus chapter 19. For here we see this set out before us. And of course, it's also included in the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. But in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32, it says this, "You shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God. I am the Lord." You notice how he groups those things together? You shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God. There is a connection in your respect for those who are wise by virtue of their age and their service for God, and your respect and your reverence for God. There is a connection between them. And so we are to honor the aged as our duty to God. And then we are to honor the aged with observable respect, not just lip service, but with observable respect. By a visible display of deference in their presence. The way it was done in the Near East is that when the aged would approach, the young would stand in deference to them. We may do something similar. We may offer them a seat instead of standing. Maybe that's why they were standing, to offer them a seat. I don't know. But there's some visible display of deference at their presence. I never remember my uncle saying, he was not as old as he is now, obviously. This was back a number of years ago. That he was driving along the freeway at one point in time or something like that, and there were some young people next to him in a car, and they were motioning to him, and he thought maybe something was wrong with the car, and so he rolled his window down to hear what they might have to say, and they just yelled at him and just made fun of his gray hair, just yelled at him and said, "Get off the road, old man," and went on. Well, obviously that wasn't a visible display of deference. I think there ought to be. We ought to respect, show a respect for the aged. And there's another thing that we ought to do. Let's go back to Job chapter 32 And there are two things that we will gain from this. Job, the 32nd chapter. Now I'm going to have to get to Job instead of Psalm. Psalm 32 won't help me. Job 32, verses 4 through 10. Now Elihu had waited to speak to Job because they were years older than he. And when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of the three men, his anger burned. So Elihu, the son of Barakel, the Buzite, spoke out and said, "I'm young in years, and you are old. Therefore I was shy and afraid to tell you what I think. I thought age should speak, and increased years should teach wisdom. But it is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives them understanding. The abundant in years may not be wise, nor may elders understand justice. So I say, listen to me. I too will tell what I think. You honor the aged with observable respect by a visible display of deference, and by attentiveness to their speech." Now Elihu was a man, but he did not speak. He was attentive. He listened. I can't help but think of James. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And I would say to you, parents, you teach your children to show deference by not interrupting, by listening carefully. And you children, you learn that kind of deference. I know, I don't know how you are, but our children have heard this American proverb, I suppose. Children are to be seen and not heard at the dinner table. And that is not always the case, because we do allow our children to speak. But when the decibel level rises to the place where I cannot handle it anymore, then the proverb usually escapes. But there is that idea. There is a deference that is to be spoken, that is to be shown by an attentiveness to the speech of those who are your elders. But not only be respectful and attentive, but be respectful in response to their speech. Even though Elihu has something to say which does not go along with the prevalent discussion among the other men who were Job's comforters, yet you'll notice throughout his speech he is very respectful, even though he does not disagree, or that he does not agree with them. And we see something very similar over in the New Testament as the Apostle Paul admonishes Timothy in his calling as a pastor in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. It says this, "Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers, the older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters in all purity." You see, even when there is an admonishment that must take place by virtue of our office, there is to be a visible and respectful response to them as to fathers and to mothers. Honor the aged with observable respect also by acceding to their godly requests. It's interesting that the Apostle Paul, in his appeal over Onesimus the slave, as he was asking Philemon to treat him kindly and even to allow him to remain and serve Paul, appeals to this very thing in verse 9. Well, let's look at verse 8. "Therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ to order you to do that which is proper, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, since I am such a person as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my child whom I have begotten in my imprisonment, Onesimus, who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me." And he goes on. But you see, he says, "I could order you." He says, "But I appeal to you because of my age. I ask you to grant me this request." And you can't help but think again of David charging Solomon at his deathbed to be wise, to rule with godly wisdom. And I can't help but think also of those faithful men who have gone before, who have left us, as it were, charges as they've passed the mantle of the work of the church onto us, to honor their requests. And also, I think we ought to respect them and show deference to them by caring for them in their infirmity. James says that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. But I think it is our duty to demonstrate our respect for the aged by caring for them in their infirmity. And one last thing here, as we think about this matter of old age, a gray head is a crown of glory. That is to focus on this last phrase: it is found in the way of righteousness. And so I would urge you to take the path that leads to honorable old age. Don't just honor it in others and neglect the path they took. Jeremiah talks about going back to the old paths, and I think we need to do that. There are several other passages that we could read. For instance, in Proverbs chapter 3, we read, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you." And over again in 16 and verse 17, "The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who watches his way preserves his life." And there's one other portion that I want to read to you, and that is the book of Ecclesiastes in the 12th chapter. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, we have the deliberations of Solomon. And I want to read a few verses here. Chapter 12, verse 1, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, 'I have no delight in them,' before the sun, the light, the moon, and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain, in the day that the watchmen of the house tremble and mighty men stoop, the grinding ones stand idle because they are few, and those who look through windows grow dim, and the doors on the streets are shut as the sound of the grinding mill is low, and one will arise at the sound of the bird, and all the daughters of song will sing softly. Furthermore, men are afraid of a high place and of terrors on the road. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags himself along, and the caperberry is ineffective, for man goes to his eternal home while mourners go about in the street. Remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed. The pitcher by the well is shattered, and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. And vanity of vanities, all is vanity," says the preacher. So there are several things that I would say to you in this as you take this path, and that is, you seek the Lord's face in your youth. We talked in Psalm 92 about the man who's was fruitful in his old age, and he was the one who was planted in the house of the Lord at an early age. So you young people, don't think that, well, I've got all my life in front of you. That is not necessarily so. You seek the Lord's face in your youth, and there is indeed a tragedy of being a spiritual infant as an old man. And I have heard and I have made the comments myself about wasted years, the years that are wasted. And we can't ever get them back. I'll never forget. I think I was in sixth grade. My sixth grade teacher was not a believer, but she said something that still sticks with me. She was talking to us about the use of our time. She had us look up at the clock, and we watched the sweep hand of the second hand go by. And we watched it for several minutes, and we watched the minute hand tick off. And after we had watched, she said, "Now I want you to understand something. You will never be able to get back that second. You will never be able to get back that minute. It's going to be spent. You're going to spend it some way. Don't waste it." I wish I could remember it all the time, because I waste a lot of time. But I think particularly of seeking the Lord's face in your youth. You young people, don't you wait. You put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you live for Him. Take the way that leads to a godly and an honorable old age. Don't be a spiritual infant as an old man or an old woman. Don't wait for that. So you seek the Lord's face in your youth and you cultivate faithfulness throughout your life. You seek the Lord's will. You avoid selfish indulgence. You don't cultivate and develop bad habits. You know, the longer habits are with you, the harder they are to break. And so you cultivate faithfulness when you're young, and you won't have near the problems that your parents have in our old age. You didn't have the self-discipline to break them before we'd had 45 years of cultivating them. Break them while you're young. Cultivate faithfulness throughout your life. And then use your years to proclaim the works of the Lord. Turn to Psalm 71. And again, we can see this in the 17th verse to the 20th verse of Psalm 71. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and I still declare thy wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare thy strength to this generation, thy power to all who are to come. For thy righteousness, O God, reaches to the heavens. Thou who hast done great things, O God, who is like thee? Thou who hast shown me many troubles and distresses will revive me again and will bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Mayest thou increase my greatness and turn to comfort me. But notice, even in his old age, he says there's still something I have to do. I have to declare the greatness of my God and all that he's done for me to the generation that's still coming along. That's exactly what the scripture tells us again in the New Testament. It says that older men and the older women are to teach the younger, to pass on the baton of faithfulness to succeeding generations. God isn't finished with you until he does take you to himself. And again, I just can't help but think of how we fail to value. I trust, and I don't know whether the Lord will or not. We do tend to look at things that are not pleasant to us. We think of those who live to ripe old years and lose their faculties. And we think, boy, I don't want that, and I don't know that I do either. My prayer is that God will give me grace to be able to summon my children, my grandchildren, to my deathbed and to have that confidence in the Lord where I'll be able to pass on to them that charge of faithfulness. Maybe God will grant that to me. Maybe he won't. But one thing I do know is that old age is a blessing of the Lord. And as long as he gives me breath and the grace to do so, I want to make him known to succeeding generations. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting. May he grant to you all a ripe old age and fruitful lives. Let's pray together. Lord, we want to ask your forgiveness for despising that which you give to us as a gift. And we pray that we might think your thoughts after you, might enjoy every phase of life as you give it to us. We pray that our children might truly appreciate their childhood and the graces and the blessings that you've given to them, godly parents, a loving home. We pray that our young people might delight in the strength of body and limb, the activity and the growing understanding of their world and of the world's creator. For our young adults, begin their lives together and plan for the future with all of the uncertainties and yet all of the expectations. For those who are settled and who have young children, we might delight in these gifts that you've given to us. For those who are growing with older children who are leaving home and establishing homes of their own, that we might delight in your goodness to them and to us. And for those who are growing into their older age, that so, Lord, they may learn to delight in you, to look back over all of your benefits and to expect them in the future as well. And so, Lord, as we delight in your providence day by day, may we learn to trust you and know that your will is good and acceptable and perfect. guard us from pride, the things that we are too good to receive from your hand, what you have for us. And may we delight in your good pleasure. And give us, O Lord, that heart and that burden to declare to succeeding generations all your mighty works. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's conclude our worship this evening by turning in our hymnals to hymn number 26. Our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Hymn number 26. Let us stand together as we sing this hymn.
Our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Under the shadow of thy throne, thy saints have dwelt secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received her frame, from everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same. Before the rising sun, the busy tribes of flesh and blood, with all their lives and cares, are carried downward by thy flood and lost in following years. Time like an dies at the opening day. Our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, be thou our guard while troubles last, and our eternal home.
Receive now the benediction. And now may the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and abide with you forevermore. Amen.